Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Goofy Forest.
Video. I am your host, Goofy Footy.
And Brother Al. Hey, what's up? You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Let's start the show. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house.
Yeah. Once again, the mic has got to be on, got to get hot, got to be going. We're doing it here for you. So listen to the cue. Let's get it going. All right, come on. So everybody... Yeah, the Powerhouse Squad is in the house. We are live in effect. We are live. So everybody on the Powerhouse Squad is here. We're getting it in. Yo, Brother Tone, are you in the house?
Yo, what's good? How y'all doing today?
All right. Brother Kofi, are you in the house?
Yep, right here. Doing well. Hope y'all doing well. Hope y'all doing well. Good out there.
All right, right. And let's give a round of applause to our newest member of the Powerhouse, our sister Sonya. Are you in the house?
Hey. Sophia Alexandra is in the house. How's everybody doing out there?
All right.
Happy Thursday.
Oh, yeah. All right. Definitely. We are so glad. Guess what? We are the mighty force. We are the mighty force. The Powerhouse Squad is definitely in effect. We're giving it cool. All right. Now, just to let you know, we need to hit the news. We're going to start getting that news section. So let's get to it. You're tuned in to NSF News. Brother out. All right. So let's get to it. All right. Listen. We got it going on. Something big for you. All right, check this out. In the news, our newly elected President Biden has put legislation. Now, everybody that knows about the history of Biden, okay, in his previous administration, and I'm not talking about as vice president, as Senator Biden was one of the people who was pushing for privatization of prisons. He went on Meet the Press long ago when he had color in his hair. I'm talking, that's how long ago. And talked and praised that motivation of privatization. And guess what? Now he's trying to redeem himself in the eyes of the people. And says, I have seen my wrongs, and this is what he's doing. He's saying no more privatization in the prisons. He doesn't want any funding for them, no, none of that, or any of that into place at all. So that is one of the biggest things that we going on here right now in the news. Also, new legislation for the COVID mask right here. They talking about double masking. Okay, so here's how this goes. The double masking goes, you take a regular surgical mask or a medical mask, then you put your cloth mask on top of that mask to give the extra filter. The reason we're doing this right now is because of the situations that's going on here. We have the UK strand, which is a different strand than what we are facing right now, which is said is more deadlier than we are dealing with right now currently. That UK strand is coming in, and then we have something coming from the South America or Panama area that's been spotted in Oregon. So all you people out in Oregon, please take that extra precaution in there. To go along with it, go right back. Biden has now put legislation into play with executive orders to state, you know, we must wear masks by law. If you're caught wearing a mask, not wearing a mask in public situations, like if you're on the bus, if you're in the subway, or you in a federal building, you must have a mask, or you can be fined in some states, or be told to just leave, or you can be restrained and told to be arrested, or go on to legal procedures from that point. All right, we just getting into this right now. These are the things that's been going on in ourselves, in our community. We're getting it in right now. All this is going on right now. It's overwhelming. Okay. Also, in NSF News, we're going to let you know what else is going on with us in our communities right now. Listen, I'm making an announcement to all our listeners. For the next 2 months, we are going to be holding a raffle. How would you like to have a brand new car or truck delivered to your house? All right, check this out. I want everybody to know there will be a link that will be posted on the next episode. I want everybody to grab that link. Put the money in the kitty, get their raffle ticket. If your number gets called, you will get the chance to win a brand new car. We are giving away a brand new car. Now, we can use something like that. Woo! All right, so check this out. It's $50. Take $50 for a good cause. Right now, we're trying to aim that $200,000 in the kitty so we can help the families that are in need. Keep that going. Keep it real and keep it right there for you. NSF is in the house. We're keeping it always on there. The National Saving Fatherhood Foundation is here to help the community grow better. Also, we are teaming up. We will be trying to team up with the Women Abuse Hotline. So we are working with them so we can better make sure those women that are abused mentally, physically, or any emotionally, that they have some kind of support out there. We're showing our support for them. That, you know what I'm saying, a good man does not abuse a good woman, all right? We must elevate our women, be able to protect our women, but also saying, well, as protect the men ourselves so their emotions does not be affected, because, you know, everything's a chain in effect when it comes to that, all right? My name is Brother Alfred. This has been NSF News. We are out of here on NSF News. Okay. All right. So, okay, all right. All right, Powerhouse News has been in effect. Joe, today we got a great show for you today. We are talking about the fears of relationships for men. Also, we're going to be talking about the non-biological father or parent involved in the relationship. Now, these things, I think it's something that we need to talk about too. Especially, we have a lot of fathers, a lot of that's out there that gets involved with these women that have been dealing with this issue. Okay, that you know they get in these relationships. There's kids already there, you know, and sometimes emotions make them feel second nature, you know, or they just don't feel like they're valued, period, is the best way to say it. They just don't feel valued in a relationship. At first, they feel, okay, I can get a little bit of fatherhood. I can show her I'm a good father. But then it gets to the point where, all right, it's not working out. You know what I mean? She don't pay me no attention. She doesn't treat me like she care about me. These things start coming up, and it's like a mental fear or a feeling that makes you say, okay, I'm not liking this. I don't approve of this, and it doesn't feel right, you know. And then you have regrets because you may have spent some time in this relationship giving her chances to show her that you care about the children, but you want her to show her that, you know, show you that she cares about you, or vice versa. Okay, these things keep coming up. So, Sister Sonia, can you tell us what you think about this?
Yeah, I agree, Brother Alfred. It's something we need to talk about because it's happening, like, every day. So as we talk about the fears, I'm excited about this show, first of all, because I'm curious to know, since we have nothing but men, except for myself, on the show, I want to know what your fears are. But first, I want to talk about what you just asked me. I definitely agree with that because it's happening in a lot of relationships. Because now when we hit our, you know, 25, when people hit 25, most of the time somebody has a kid. So that's a fear by a lot of men. Actually, a lot of men choose to opt out, especially if the man doesn't have any kids. They choose to opt out of situations where women already have children because of that fear, maybe of connecting or bonding with the children, or you may already have your own desires or wants, like, I want my own kids, I don't want a father. And then also what you said, Brother Alfred, about how, I might be neglected or, you know, not understood or hurt. And so me speaking, you know my story, I've been divorced twice. I have a child from each marriage. So the second marriage, I can definitely speak on that because the first child, even though, yes, that's daddy in the relationship because she was so young when we met, an infant, you do have those situations where the father may feel like, okay, the mother may be used to this way of parenting, and then you have the partner coming in saying, oh, well, I don't agree with this, or this needs to happen. And then when we don't see eye to eye on it, then there becomes an issue in the relationship. So I definitely understand the fears about getting into these relationships and fathering children that are not biologically yours. But also there's a way around it. There's a way that it can be worked out. So I'm just curious to know from you guys, how you feel about the situation, Brother Tone, Brother Kofi, Brother Alfred. Have you been in that situation where you did have to, you know, become a father to children that were not biologically yours?
Oh, well, I'll take it first.
All right, go ahead, Brother T.
I've been in a couple of relationships where it was, as they describe it, a blended family, albeit bringing my son into the equation, where I'm dating someone who didn't have children. And I've been in a situation where people have had children. And, I mean, just the blended family concept is more or less just comes down to respect. And if you have a good heart, you're already a parent, more likely than not, it won't be a situation where you're intolerable towards someone else's child. But, I mean, the difficulty lies in the urban community, you know, where you have the machoism from sometimes that comes with dating women with children. And what I mean by that, it can come both ways. Albeit you'll have the woman who would instinctively say, don't discipline my child, let me handle that situation. If there's if it's a long-standing relationship and there's confrontation, or you just may have that ex boyfriend or husband was just adamant, you know, where they're coming with such angst, and it's more so a demeanor like, yeah, you better not hit my kid, or I'm getting involved. And, you know, that's the only thing that I can say is a drawback at times when you are dealing with a new relationship and you're having to get acclimated to others' children or kid in general. And that's just one of the most adverse spaces that I've seen that men have had to overcome within a relationship. But other than that, I mean, again, if she likes you or you like her, vice versa, you know, and the additions come with you, the children. I mean, it's if they like you, they should like your kids. That's the best way I feel, because, and for the most part, your children are a reflection of you, and hopefully, you know, you've made a mark on your children so that it's not a situation where someone has to just tolerate your kids, and more so they can love them and embrace them just as much as, you know, they're loving the relationship.
Yeah, I agree. So, but we do see all the time and hear about how the non-biological child is not getting along with the new person. So that in itself creates another set of problems. But I agree with you, what you're saying, for the most part, because, yes, if that's the way it should absolutely be. If you like this person, they like each other, you should accept them because they are a reflection of who you are. Now, that is not always the case, because everybody always has their own baggage and what they're bringing into the relationship. And this is why some men fear getting into relationships with people that have children already versus not having them, because it is that it comes down to communication. How are you communicating? And like you said, there are parents on the outside, which you have no control of, that comes in and say, oh, I don't want you doing this to my kid, or I don't want you, this person, doing this. And then you do have the person inside the relationship that says, hey, this is how it's going to go down. If not, it's going to be a problem. So like you said, that comes down to all about how you're handling and how you're getting along and how you're communicating in the relationship. But I want to ask you specifically, was that a fear for you getting involved in any relationship? Like, was that a fear that you had when you pursued relationships, or was that something you didn't really worry about?
I like children, so it's never been a deal breaker for me with any other relationships that I've been in. You know, I've faced adversity and a couple of in the relationships where, you know, it's that you know, more specifically, it was the son getting used to me dating his mother, because it had been him and his mother pretty much since he was born. Although he does have a father. The father is not consistent in.
Mm-hmm.
And being active. So more or less it's just been him and mom. And so when it's him and mom, it's like, oh, okay, this guy is here, but it's still all about me. And so that was a tough one. But ultimately, I mean, the relationship itself, I was mature enough to step away and step out of the relationship, because that was something that we disagreed with as far as parenting style and just how to be active and raise a young boy. And, you know, lessen the conflict. There's many fish in the sea. So I just transitioned and moved on from there. You know what I mean? So a child has never stopped me initially. Like, if I'm just meeting you and there's an attraction there, and I'm not on dating market anymore, I'm just saying, but when I was, there's it wasn't initial like, oh, I have a child or I have two kids. Okay, all right, that's cool. I don't have any problems with that. You know, when the time is right, and it's nothing that I ever tried to rush into, but when the time is right, you know, I'll meet them and then we'll take it from there. One relationship lasted 5 years, and even with the difficult young kid, we still dated for 2 years. So,
okay, I can relate on, you know, from the perspective, actually from both sides, because I have kids. I have two girls, and so after my second divorce, I did get on a dating market, and I was the one that was told, like, I believe in being honest, upfront, so So that way you can just weed out who don't need to be in your life. And so I'm glad that I had children. And a lot of people actually, you know, some people, they read your profile and then some don't. They just look at the pictures. And then you end up on a date with them. They're like, oh, you got kids? Yeah, I have that on my profile. And so I was like, oh, no, I can't do kids. And so I've been in those situations where men say I prefer women with no kids because they may have a fear of the drama or, you know, and that's good to hear that you didn't have that fear. But a lot of times most of the men that don't have that fear is probably because they have kids. I'm not saying that's always the case, but a lot of times the ones that are willing to date the women that have children, they already have kids or they've already been exposed to the situation before. And so there is that portion of it. And Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that part of it, but I coach youth sports, and you know, I was at one point around kids a lot, you know, as I was coaching youth sports. So, you know, there's no mean streak in me coming from a large family. You know, my mother comes from, you know, a family of 11 kids. And so there's been a lot of cousins, you know, and my siblings. So, you know, I'm adjusted to whatever stage the child is in. You know what I mean? Albeit if the baby is, if it's a baby and it's a newborn having to change a pamper, you know, to dealing with the bottles and or just, you know, nurturing a child through just guidance alone. That's never been my thing, but I get where you're coming from on the dating scene. The dating scene, albeit with children or over a certain age, I'm gonna put an asterisk on 35 and up. Man, it's tough. It's tough because I'm not one that likes to judge people, so that's why I never had a problem with it. But it's. One can say that their preferences, but I really more so, I would say that it's a person being judgmental to a situation, because at the end of the day, you know, you're not imperfect because, you know, again, you married, you divorced, and you have two children. You're not imperfect because of that. That's a part of your journey and your life experience. So I get you plus the bonuses. I would get you plus the bonuses of you. And, you know, who knows how great that could be?
Yeah, I love that, because a lot of men do not think that way. And that's the thinking pattern that we should have. First, it has to come from a non-judgmental state of mind. But I think with what society has created for us, we are very judgmental. We tend to be very judgmental. Look at the app. All we're looking at is the picture, and we decide if we want to swipe left or right. And so and it's so judgmental to the point that even when I was on my dating app venture, someone met the guy like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, okay, you look good too. Okay, so let's get to it. And then he asked me, what's your weight?
Oh.
And so I'm like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, he's like, oh, because I don't date women above a certain number. I'm like, okay, so if I tell you my number, that's crazy to me, because me coming from a sports background like you, similar to you, I grew up with a large family. I have five brothers, one sister. My dad has 13 siblings. My mom has, I think, 8. And so coming from that, I'm not judgmental. I enjoy people being around. But like me growing up in sports, you know, working out my muscles work way more than fat. And so I may have a higher number, but that doesn't mean. So I think the society that we live in, people are judgmental, and it's not a lot of us that are non-judgmental when it comes to it. We're looking at the pictures. We're like, okay, we like what we see. It's not about that genuine connection. You know, I think that's eliminated from some parts of the dating world today. But I want to talk about some other fears, if you don't have any rebuttal on that, that men may have, or in general, that we may have when we're entering these new relationships.
So dating apps, and this is mature and immature, you know,
mm-hmm.
but this is a wide open show, so I can't really hold back. I'd rather be candid.
I kind of see a woman
with a child as a plus, because you know, hey, you may get some at some point, as opposed to somebody being single, not having kids, they're 35, 40. I kind of look at that and more or less and say, what the hell is wrong with her? That you,
oh my God.
Hey, if she's a beautiful person, she has all of these credentials, and, you know, you as they say, you know, you missed that bullet. Like, are you crazy? You know what I mean? Like, when you start thinking about movies, like Martin and Angela Bassett in A Thin Line. I'm like, mm-hmm. if you're 40, you're a double degree, a master's degree. You have this high profile position, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. You own a home, own two homes. I met many women like that because I was on that dating carousel for a while too. after I divorced, and it felt good in a way, but it was also frightening. And I'll tell you straight up, like most of the single women that I met, 35 or older, they couldn't really. Aside from the physical attraction, that's literally all they cared about, because anything extra that I had to do, it was annoying to them. If I had to go and spend time with my son or do something, well, how long are you going to be? When are you going to get back? I was just met with so many questions, because it was like almost like they were in disbelief that I was an active father. And so mm-hmm. that's why I say that's my opinion. And every woman that I've dated has two kids. It wasn't a qualification for me, but it just kind of worked out like that. And I've been more than open. So
moment.
Although I only have two kids, I'll say that I assisted in raising over 10 children at some point in my life.
Wow. Whoa. Now, I want to jump in here. Let me tell you something.
Go ahead. Go
I've been married twice, okay? The first time, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. We're going to be upfront and honest, okay? All right? Now, the second time I got married, it was a disaster, okay? But the only buffer I had, even though there was already two children there, they weren't in the same country with us during the whole relationship. Oh. It was all long distance. Both of the children were in another country. The children were living in Jamaica, but the mother was up here where I was at. So we got married. We did the whole distance thing, you know, the whole, you know, calling, WhatsApp app kind of thing, whatever we had to do on a normal basis. But it got to the point where she cared about the children, but then I felt like I didn't count in the relationship. So where's the value of me? You know, it went from a relationship where, you know, it was okay, a little bit about me. I was, you know, sort of recovering from my first marriage still mentally. So, you know, when we met, everything worked out great. Everything was fine. I still was recovering, but I was ignoring that I was, you know, I wasn't paying attention that I was still recovering. So I just thought I could just move on to the next thing and keep moving forward. Now, what happened with that is that when it came down for when I say the time the light bulb came on in my head and said, "Hey, you need, you know, she doesn't really care about you and your needs, right, or what you want to do with your life. You do know that." I was like, okay. So I went and I found out. I realized that I was Morgan Freeman and she was driving Miss Daisy. I was a chauffeur. I really didn't count too much. If I said to her, I want to open up a cleaning business and be self-sufficient and do my own thing, is go do what you do whatever you want to do, man. Do what you want to do, you know, and not try to participate and make something work together. And it just felt distant, so it just didn't. It just compiled a as they say in the South, a bunch of hooey, you know, cow pie and hooey. So you know, it was just like that. So. You know, you know, and then when you get out of that situation, you know, you hear a lot of people say, well, you know what? Don't let that thing define you. Always move on from it. Give yourself enough time to heal so you can process what you just went through and understand what you went through so you do not go through it again. So you move on from that point, and you do get involved with women. But see, it's the high dating rate or relationship rate of finding a single woman or a single partner with no ties to children is less than 2.9% ratio. Because in this day and age,
I would dispute that.
Well, I'm talking, this is the statistic that came out of Harvard University. I was remember, I think it was Professor Griffin, I think he's good, Professor Griffin, who was basically a specialist in relationships and, you know, statistics. But by most children, well, you got to think, Generation X was baby making. Okay, it was a lot of baby making going on in Generation X. And especially if you're coming from the early 90s, the statistics were coming out even around when George Bush and Clinton was in the office during those times. A lot of young women, I'm talking maybe 14, 15, 16, to the point that they were putting out commercials talking about, are you a teen mother? Do you need assistance? These are the kind of things that were coming out during those times heavily on the TV screen. And this was not just local. This was nationwide. Teenagers were having more babies per capita, per section, than any country in the world. We were just popping out babies. And because of that, that made a high statistics ratings that rolled into this generation, into 2020, where the ratio of that percentage is so marginalized, it's ridiculous, you know? And I just constantly see that when you go out and you put your name on these dating apps, I don't care if it's blah, 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 or blah, 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 you know? All you see is, okay, some women, they will not post that they have children because they don't want to scare away a man. That's how the language comes up. And then there's some women that they will literally tell you they have children. Those are the ones say, okay, either you take me as I am or you ain't getting me at all. So, you know what I'm saying? Those are kind of things you have to look at as well. Now, I think on this situation, this subject, the fear of the biological, it depends also on the biological and the non-biological issue. It depends on certain factors when you come into a relationship, okay? For me, it's faith first because I'm a Muslim, so I have to go by Islamic law. Islamic law tells us in the Quran, in Surah, is in a hadith that take on the orphan. That means if the child is not your child, protect the orphan. That means any children that comes into any relationship that you are engaged with, them, those children become your children, your responsibility. There's no debate. There's no argument about it, or you don't say it. The child, if the child's raised that way, then the child knows that that's your new daddy. Even if daddy is still around, but you still take on that responsibility as father because you are present in the household. Okay? If you're not present in the household, then, you know what I'm saying, you have to, there's certain other rules you have to go through. So faith for me, one. Two is compatibility. Like, are we compatible on likes and dislikes? That comes into a second. Three, physical attraction. Four is intelligence, educational, and basic understanding, and able to come have a complete structure where you can basically be intuitive and tuned into each other's vibes. As the, that's the new word of 2020. It's been like that. So the vibe, can you communicate on a love language? What is your each other's love language? These are the questions you got to ask each other now. And now with the corona, you have to ask the question, do you wear a mask? Are you protecting yourself? What is your health history? These are the kind of things you have to bring into these questions when you deal with it. Okay. But I personally, I just think these are the things we need to look at when you are and getting involved with people today. It does not matter on your age differences. You just got to learn how to modernize yourself and understand the language of dating has changed. It's like a foreign object that's built in that you had no idea that was there, but when you stick your head up off the ground, it's there, right in front of you. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things we have to constantly look at. Go ahead, Brother Kobe.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. Were you? I want to make sure you were. Were you finished, bro?
Yeah, brother. I got you, brother.
Okay. I didn't want to step on anybody. So, I mean, I think one of the big things that we are talking about too. Well, before I start, did we want to make sure that we went ahead and did our any advertising or anything we want to do before I go ahead?
Brother, go ahead right now, and then we roll right on in. We got you.
Okay. All right. So as far as what we're talking about, like, you know, one of the things that I think we always have to realize too is that once again, we have not really found out what is it that we, or what is it even like, is a husband or a wife pre-qualified. You know, a lot of times when I hear people talk about this stuff, like in my culture, you know, I'm talking about North African culture, Ibri culture, Shwe culture, even Cherokee culture. I'm mixed with quite a few things, like many of us are, Taino culture, et cetera. And when you're looking at this stuff, you have to realize even Jamaican culture, you know, when you were talking about the woman, Brother Alfred, you know, I was even thinking love language. There's some things that our sisters down there speak to where it might sound like one thing, but they really saying another. But it's because we haven't been trained how to, like you said, speak outside our love language. But we don't think about these things pre-husband or pre-wife, or I'm sorry, not even pre-husband, pre-wife, pre-marriage, because,
right.
You know, the further back you go into history, the further back you realize that people had to be qualified as husbands and wives before they became somebody else's husband and wife, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
In my culture, you're supposed to know what a husband is. You're supposed to know what a father is. You're supposed to know what a man is. You're not supposed to know what your cultural beliefs are, your religious beliefs. You're supposed to know how to speak as a woman speaks. You're supposed to be trained by your father, you know, like all from my 19-year-old all the way down to my 5-year-old boy, they know, hey, they'll even hear me have conversations. And so sometimes they might look weird, like, what was that? Or why did you do this? Or it seems like, you know, you as the king or the man in the house, whatever you want to call your position, you should have said blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, and I'll tell them. I'll look at them in their confusion, and that's training. So I'd be like, hey, as a husband, as a father, these are things that you would do. This is what's actually asked of us. This is how you respect your queen or whatever, right? And vice versa with the mother, you know, with the daughters. Or doing a lot of stuff, but, like, there's supposed to be stuff that we are trained for already. And what I find when I do a lot of life coaching or marital coaching is that a lot of people are not really directed in that at all. So even if they're breaking up with somebody, a lot of times you find people, or even if they've broken up, even if they're by themselves, they have not learned. So a lot of times with women, for example, especially women who have been sexually or physically abused or verbally abused, a lot of them not believing in their own self-beauty. A lot of times I have to literally take them back. I don't care if they're 60, 70 years old. A lot of times I have to walk them back through their childhood to their first memories and start asking questions to see, when was the last time you felt beautiful? When was the last time you felt protected from your father? Because a lot of them didn't feel protected from their father. They weren't told that they were beautiful. They didn't really get I love yous from their mothers. Some of them dealt with no parents in the house at all, right? And so I have to take them back and start to realize. And so one of the things I think that we have to start grasping onto is, instead of saying, I get it, all of us have different personalities, but I think we've gotten into the thing of saying everybody's got to be so much themselves, and respect myself, respect my space, respect my energy, all these terms that you hear start coming up. It's like, well, in all this stuff, what we're really saying is, if there's 7+ billion people on Earth, we've kind of started acting like there's 7+ billion definitions of marriage. And that's a problem. Like, for me, that's the problem. Like, we get into it. And if I can teach a lot of these people, including myself, because I've dealt with heartbreak as well, right? So if I can teach others and teach myself daily what it is to go back to the actual definitions before we started changing them to deal with societal issues, you know, like in the Black community, we started doing things with marriage because we started having our men locked up. But before that, we started doing stuff because our women had to be out of place and unprotected. And before that, we had to start doing things because we had no power. And if we got married in public and didn't do it all in secret and hide it and be ashamed of our own marriage, then we might get sold, right? And go on, so on and so on. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to start getting back to. What, before we got messed up as a society, what was our definition? What was defined? You know, even, you know, I'm not trying to say everybody has to live like I live, but in my culture and in our belief system, you know, sex is marriage. Even scientifically, when they say two become one, once you have sex with somebody, the other person's DNA lodges in your brain. So that's why you remember your first. You don't remember your first just because you're spiritually attached to them. You're actually remembering your first partially because you physically have become one, right? And even there's a lot of stuff. So it's like, when we start going through what is defined as this institution, because out of this institution is supposed to come blessings. We're supposed to heal each other. We're supposed to lift each other up. Sometimes, you know, push each other to the point to where it hurts, the push that we're receiving, but it should be in love, right? Even if it's constructive criticism. What are the things that we're going to define as marriage? And when I start going through that with people who are hurt and trying to figure out what happened in their marriage, a lot of times what starts happening is not only healing, but self-accountability develops, where now it's, oh, you know, when I first started talking to them, everything was the other person's fault. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have done this, blah, blah. The only reason I did wrong, but now I start going, oh, you know what? Maybe I could have spoke their language. And maybe with the next person, I should start developing those 5 love languages you're talking about, words of affirmation. Even if I'm an action person, if I don't speak the right way to somebody, I'm not going to get the right action. Or if it's, you know, acts of service. Well, if I'm somebody who is all about action or whatever, if somebody is saying beautiful things to me, but they don't give me actions, it doesn't mean they don't love me. It just means maybe their love language is something different than mine. What about gifts? You know, somebody, we call some of those women and men gold diggers. And the reality is, you could actually just get a woman a flower on the way home and pick it out the ground and hand it to her and say, babe, I was thinking about you. I'm sorry I couldn't afford this or that, but I was thinking about you. I know your favorite color is pink. I saw a pink flower on the side of the road, and I want to give this to you, right? That's, you're speaking her language. And now you're developing things that lead to some of the stuff you might want, like the bedroom and stuff, because that's what's going to make your woman want the bedroom. You know, the man, we ready to go at any time, you know, but she needs something to secure and do whatever. But what about going further? You know, things like when we teach things about what the definition is of a proper marriage, you know, even when we talk about what's the next one, quality time. You know, I'm dealing with a couple right now where one person wasn't raised where quality time was ever spent with them by their own parents. And so they look at the other person weird when they want it. And the other person's like, but I'm about actions. And they're like, but you're being inactive in my need of quality time. You know, like giving them that could be something that opens up the doorways and stuff. And then you have the last one, which is, you know, physical touch, where some people are like, I'm not about public displays of affection. Yeah, but your partner might be. So it's not only about being fluent in your language, but if you're not fluent in the other person's, are you willing to do those things? And once again, we don't do this we're not very preactive when it comes to stuff like forgiveness. We're not very preactive when it comes to stuff like being in a mindset not to condemn. We're not very preactive when it comes to making sure that we understand what the other person is about. We're usually very reactive. That's why we go to the statistics a lot of times. We go to the statistics to be able to help our reaction. You know, my reaction is, oh, and I'm not saying we shouldn't use statistics at all, but I'm just saying a lot of times even when we go there, we're like, I'm going to look for something that's going to defend my belief and how I feel. And it's like, but there's, once again, getting back to that, it's the number, there's over 7 billion people on the planet. What makes you think that just because you reacted that way that your reaction represents everybody's? So I think there has to be a place of where we start even getting back. You know, I'm always big on etymology and getting back to, you know, the further we go back, usually the closer we are to reality. All the stuff that we're eating now, the ways we're eating now, that's how they used to eat. You know, all the ways we're talking about worshiping God or gods, whatever your religious, you know, or religiosity or theology is, that's the way that they used to do it. Everything's going back to what it used to be. And so it's like, for me, why not go back to ancient etymology and when marriage was good? And matter of fact, we were so good at marriage. And some people will look at me strange when I say this because they think I'm trying to take their power away or whatever. But we were so good at marriage at one point to where there was no such thing as dating. You know, not just in a Hebrew belief or whatever, but people knew their role so well and they knew how to communicate so well that they would find a wife. Even in the Bible, that's why people love that scripture, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. The reason why they like it, they like to hear it, but they don't understand what it's saying. If you read that whole passage, it's literally Solomon is quoting his father David, and David told him a story in which a queen is speaking to her own son. So when it says who can find a woman, or you know, who can find a virtuous woman, and starts talking about this woman and all this stuff, and then later on goes to another place that people like to quote, it's literally a queen talking to her son and saying, son, a virtuous woman, she's more valuable than rubies because it's taken her a lifetime to become who she is. And these are the things that you should get out of her. You know, so we don't think about that. Like, have you looked for a woman that's literally taken a lifetime, not only to develop, not only gone through struggles, but has she been training and studying her life, you know, to become what you need her to be? And have you, because you can't just deal with something that's virtuous or something that's amazing or something that's that valuable and you not be prepared for it. So are you in a position to where you can, so to speak, afford to be able to pay for her, not just physically, not just as far as, you know, fiat money or whatever, or cryptocurrency or whatever we would think of, but as far as can you pay, are you willing for the work that this woman has put in? Are you valuable enough? And I know some people would be like, oh, that's, you know, some men wouldn't like me saying that, but that's real. Like, are you valuable enough to her? Because you shouldn't have an independent black woman, and you shouldn't have a dependent woman, and you shouldn't have an independent man, and you shouldn't have an independent man. You should have interdependence between both. And that comes from my value in this is just as much as your value in this, not just that I feel like I should have it, but what have I done even before meeting you that qualifies me? And we don't want to talk about that pre-qualification. We'll do that for anything else. I think I might have said this last week, if so, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize, but it's good to bring up again. It's easier in America, or in the world, really, but let's deal with America. It's easier in the Republic of the United States of America to get married than it is to get your driver's license, right? We're more concerned about you driving than we are about you being married and having children and having them be affected. It's easier for you to get married in America than it is for you to become a barber. We're more concerned about our shape-ups than we are our relationships. I mean, think about this. This is real talk. Like, it's easier in America to become married than it is to make sure that you play a sport We're more concerned about making sure that you get a ball in the basket and joining the team than we are making sure that if you're going to enter into my daughter and become one with her and become her spiritual father, in a sense, I'm less concerned about that than I am about making sure that you can score a basket. You know, this is what our problem is in America. And then now you put Corona on it. We're acting like coronavirus is a whole separate thing. Coronavirus just simply intensified or put more pressure on it and is revealing that we don't have the right mindset. We're not teaching people what marriage is. We're not even concerned about it. We're just like, do you do whatever, find somebody that does this. But do you even speaks to, I'm going to do whatever I want. Will you support me in doing whatever I want? You don't get to do you in a relationship. You get to do us. And so
that's
the children
right.
can put on top of it. And I'm going to get out the way after this because I know we've all been talking. I know we got to get to some other things. But now once we finish doing us, that means with the children, if you teach that, then part of being a good husband, a great husband, a good wife, a great wife, a king, a queen, and having the responsibility and accountability, that means that I also was already prepared before I met you. I was taught what it was to be a father. I was taught what it was to be a dad. I was taught what it was to be able to make sure that I schedule time out to make sure that my wife has time to her, my children have time to them, that I'm teaching my children as well, that and I'm even prepared in the relationship. Here's some stuff, too, that people don't like to talk about. I make sure that when I do marital counseling, we'll make up like marital contracts, almost like constitutions, if you will. And we write our amendments and all that stuff. And we write it out, make sure everybody signs. I sign as a third party. We place it somewhere in the house. And so on there, we'll even have little things like, okay, if somebody's mad at the other person, this is how we've agreed to even talk about it, especially when our children are present, because how you deal with issues when your children are around, that's how they're going to be trained to deal with issues when their children are around. So even things like that, like their children are being developed, the children, biological or non-biological, it really comes from a place of what have we instilled in the person. And I know this part of it might not deal with some of us who were never taught, which at this point, talking about it, at least getting that in the air and then being able to deal with them in one-on-one situations, I think is the next step. But for those that are coming behind us or those that are like not at that 35-year-old threshold that Brother Tone talked about or younger, we must understand that really it comes to the development of self and what do you define as, even if you don't like my definition as far as spiritually speaking, what do you define a husband or a wife to be and what is that based off of before you get in a relationship? Because if you like some of these brothers and sisters out here, you got a lot of brothers out here that can't keep a woman or ain't even trying to keep one woman. They're trying to keep several, and they're trying to define marriage to you. I don't need that. I'm trying to keep my marriage going, right? I'm decade in. You know, I can't have, you can't even keep. You know, I'm not saying I can't listen to you, but I ain't trying to listen to that because that's why I need to hang out with some people that I do that 50 years in, 60 years in. I need them to tell me what they did. You know, and they was doing stuff where literally they couldn't even walk down the side of the road because of the color of their skin, but they still needed to be with their wife. I need somebody to teach me on that level how to be faithful, how to make sure that I don't allow anger to allow me to burst, you know, to burst out in bad ways to where I do something unintentional to my wife in the moment. Like, these are the people I need to talk to. And also on the woman side, we got women out here, you know, who will go out and you'll go to the grocery store and you'll look on the grocery shelf and you see 1,000 ways to please your man, but you never ask your man. You know, instead of looking to other women to teach you about your man, maybe you should go to your man. And I think those are principles that are pretty simple that if we instituted them, a lot of this stuff we wouldn't have problem with.
That's right. Wow, where's the round of applause?
You are now listening to Money Talk Live
on NFL Radio
every Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's give it out a round of applause. Don't forget,
tonight will be Money Talk. So you get that, need that investment. So you're looking for that money coming right to you, getting the heart. Well, and by the way, my hair is standing up. I don't have any hair, but something's standing up on top of my head with what just been said. I'm sorry. I got to give that a round of applause on me. On my brother. See, this is why we don't mess with Kofi. We don't mess with Kofi. He's the brother in the background. He's the one in the room that, you know, got the foot up on the wall, you know, chilling in the back, lean with the gangster lean, sit back in it, and then next thing you know, you're gone. So that's why, you know, Bud Kofi, man, you done did it again, brother. You done did it again.
Did it again.
All right. So let me tell you something, y'all. Listen, we've been talking about this relationship, dating, all here in the modern era, what is apps or the fear of relationships, these coming with these children that's already there. The situation's been, you know, it's something that everybody is either been through, going through, or might go into, or wants to know how to deal with it. All right. And, you know, these are just little insights of personal views, but you can also take something from it, use it, so that maybe you can say, okay, so you meet this nice woman or you meet that nice man and, you know, or the nice person, you just say, listen, I can handle this or I can handle that. Now, that brings me segues right into what I'm about to say. When I go out with a woman, is children involved? I have to look at my financial. A man has to look at his financial and say, okay, I can handle if she has one child. Or if he can say, I can handle if she has two children. And she has six children or five or even that amount more, you really need to know if you can really handle what she's going about. You know, I mean, seriously. So, you know, you gotta be real with that. You don't judge it. Yeah, I don't care how fine her booty is. I don't care how fine she got that curve going along. And I said the same thing on the other side, too. I don't care if he got a 20-foot in his pants. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you get that orgasm, it ain't all that worth it. You know what I'm saying? If you can't handle the situation when he's got other children or, like, mass amount of children already pre-done before you even enter the picture, you need to be real with yourself, you know?
Well, and Brother Alfred, I just wanted to slip in there real quick, too, because I think one of the things that we got to talk about is economics, because that's one of the leading causes, if we just be honest. We live in capitalism, so a lot of people are so concerned about capital, even if they don't need it, that they'll break up over it if they're making less than what's perceived, too. And so what you're saying is important, but one thing I've learned, too, is make sure that you build yourself up, you know, make sure that you have things that eliminate bills and things too, not just as a man but as a woman, because when you come together, it eliminates things. Like, for example, we have, you know, we have land, my wife and I, we have land, we have properties, right? So we can go travel and do different things still today, even with making less money than what we've ever made before. And I mean, my wife, if I be honest, for the longest time, she was making way more than I was. And but we came together, we had a plan, a vision, and a goal in mind. And so part of that was, all right, if I'm going to make, you know, lion's share of it, that's fine. Use this time to where you can build something up. You know, so during this time, I was able to build some stuff up for years and to be able to catch up. And then when she took a break and then Corona hit on top of that, all of a sudden, we're good because we took time out to still plan. So we took time out to where economics, you know, which is hitting all of us pretty hard, it doesn't hit us as hard. There's no mortgage. You know, we never had a mortgage. We made sure we didn't do that because that's paying rent to somebody else, even if you don't count it as rent. You know, there's no mortgage, though. There's no bills on the cars. You know, there's only simple bills that we had. And so we still can do things that people that make way more than us can't do, because we made certain decisions. And now with the Kofi of 40 branding stuff and Change the Lines initiative and some other things that are popping up, we're doing well. Now we're getting on our feet and doing even better and greater. We invested in cryptocurrency. We invested in things before that. We use different apps. We you know, did mining, all types of stuff, or, well, sorry, just getting into some of that stuff. But regardless, you know, you shape your stuff up now because those things will occur. And if we don't start thinking like lenders instead of borrowers, in other words, if we're professional consumers, and so we consume everybody else's product so much that we actually consume things that will happen in our relationship. And you get used to start realizing not only to live within your means, but we have extra sometimes just because we don't have to do what we used to think. You know, we thought, oh, we got a little extra, you know, we're going to act like we're balling and doing this. We're going to go here. We're going to go to this resort. We're going to travel here, blah, blah. And it's like you can do a lot of that stuff without having to be on the same level. You know, learn, for example, my wife, she teaches people how to be able to eat and make the earth their grocery store. So literally she teaches you how to be able to walk around and you can go grocery shopping just looking around at what's around you. You can pick up some dandelion here, you can pick up some lettuce, you can pick up this, you can do that. Like those are things that help you and bless you in the grocery department, right? You can be somebody that is, you can be somebody that is doing, you can find ways to be able to take different types of trips or different types of hiking or do different things rather than do certain things. If that's not your thing, you know, you can find ways to watch movies without having to pay for cable or having to go out to the movies all the time. You can find places to travel. You can do a lot of stuff. And just having that kind of mindset and learning that now, as you get older, even rich people, as you get older, you really don't do a lot of those things, or you don't have to like go to the extreme in spending. You don't have to always wear the most extreme clothes, expensive clothes, stuff like that. And I know that some of that stuff is stuff that I wish I had known when I was younger, because we could have done even more with saving and investing and things like that. I wish, you know, in 2014, we were thinking about cryptocurrency. We didn't make the move. Had we done so with what we were making at the time, we could have been millionaires easily, you know, by now, right? So just doing some of those things now while you're younger, while you don't have somebody's responsibility, while you might not have the children, while you don't have the, you know, once you get those things, if you have those things and they're secure in place now, I know maybe if you're 40, if you're 50, 60, maybe this doesn't speak to you where you are now. But for those who are listening, if you're 20, or even if you're still 30, but you're single and you don't plan on having children anytime soon, you know, start putting these things as part of your plans now, because it helps a lot to have part of the conversation. A lot of the arguments that happen is, we can't afford this. How little Johnny going to get to and from school? I need to be able to do this. I need to be able to get groceries, blah, blah. Well, if you have these things in place already, then these are not issues. Therefore, you don't have to fight about them. And it's made life a lot easier. It's a lot easier to not have fights about food, you know, when you don't live in the food desert. You know, certain little things like that will help you a lot. It's a lot easier to not argue about food when I know I can go outside and just pick food, or I can wait for the mulberries to fall from a tree, and I can just put a bucket outside and catch them and maybe even sell some. You know, like you start having different economic options and stuff coming in, and that will really bless your marriage if you start thinking about your finances early.
Whoa.
It's funny time.
You're tuning to Innocent Comedy Hour with your host, Max Deuce.
Yeah, don't forget, every Saturday, get tuned in, get with it, get on it, and definitely want to see what's going on with it. That Comedy Hour with your host, Max Deuce. Also want to let you know, coming up, all y'all in the South, you ain't know what's going on, but get ready, it's going to be playing. We all have country on Sunday, a new episode of Get Your Country Music, your country little Southern hip hop, you know what I'm saying, with your own host right then and there. He is coming out the Don Juan of country music. He going to have that little, y'all know what to do. Come on. So every Sunday night, Country on Sunday, we'll be playing right here on NSF Radio. So get with the tuned in. And if you don't know, now you know. All right, don't forget, NSF Radio, don't forget, is the number one online streaming radio station right now. We're getting reviews from everywhere. Trust me, you don't even want to know how many phone calls we've been getting on how can I listen to the show.
My cousin told me about the show. Who's this guy, Kofi? Man, this dude is off the hook. Who's that pretty boy, Tone? I don't know who he is. You know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, people keep like, man, how you know this? And blah, 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 blah. You know, the whole thing keeps coming. So everybody, check it out. Keep it on. Keep it real. You know, we always get it. And listen, we broke a record last week. I'm going to tell you everybody right now. Within a certain span of the last, I think it was 4 to 5 months, we've hit a barrier breaking on streaming, downloading, and everything. I think we're doing what? I think we did 20, and the number keeps going up for our last episode. So I want to give everybody on the Powerhouse Squad a round of applause and to say thank you. I appreciate you all and what you have done here. And definitely, you know what, we're killing it. We're killing it. Also, don't forget, we got a new show going to be coming on NSF TV Network. We want to let everybody know about that. Kofi Speaks Soul. Now, that show is going to be a remake of Soul from 1973 and 74. It's a remake of a whole revenue. Kofi's going to be on there live. You'll be able to ask questions. You're going to have some special guests. A little bit of music sometimes going to be played on there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like a twist of the Arsenio Hall before Arsenio, but we sticking to the righteous with subjects. You know what I'm saying? Keeping on economics, talking about what we need to focus on, what we need to do, you know, bring awareness. Special guests will be coming on live, you know what I'm saying? So definitely we're going to be trying to get some of the big heavy hitters that used to be on there and up-and-coming people that, you know, that out there spoken word out there for you. And definitely, Kofi is definitely going to be doing that. Trust me. All right, we're working hard for you and keeping it in tuned. All right, my name is Brother Alfred. All right, everybody else, sister. So, sister, what's going on with you? Let me tell me what's going on. You got anything coming up this week?
No, actually, right now, only until tomorrow, I'm allowing select people to take my course for free. So you can get at me if you want to find out more details about that. So it expires actually tomorrow. So only for 2 days, so which was today, today and tomorrow. So my course on overcoming heartbreak, moving past that, finding your power, keeping your power, all of that is free to you just for now until tomorrow. So if you're interested in that, hit me up. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ You Are So Damn Amazing. Hit me up on there, and I'll give you the details.
All right, right, right. Brother Tone, man, what's going on with the podcast, man? I've been hearing it. Everybody's talking about it a little bit. I see it's coming up. It's been hot. Man, I don't know. Should I keep it like in a backwood folder and or on a tape recorder, do like an old school tape deck? Which, because, you know, this thing, every time I hear it, them subjects you be coming up, man, them are some hot ones, man. Whew.
Talking shit podcast, man. Hosted by myself. From time to time, I bring in a co-host, Coach T, Coach Robinson. He would come in and co-host with me. And we cover topics from politics to sports, man, and some of the hot topics, trending topics that are happening in our communities. Again, that's the Talking Chit, CHIT podcast. It's available and streaming everywhere, man. I got guests from, like I said, ex-pro athletes to relationship specialists on another side of the on the other side of the country, on some of my previous shows in the first season. And second season, you know, I've had a underground hip hop, John Robinson, great music, contemporary hip hop music, and I mean, there's more guests to come. We got about another 5 episodes. I just recently did a episode entitled "Going Back to Africa." I have a young brother that I met through one of the speaking platforms out there that they have. We got Clubhouse, you got Stereo app. I met this guy on there, and he was just very adamant that he's going to return to Africa. Well, he's going to go to Africa and try to change his misfortunes, you know, as opposed to living in the U.S. You know, he feels that there is hope. He He's an entrepreneur. He's a designer, clothing designer, and he's seeking out traveling to Nigeria, and he wants to seek citizenship there with his wife and his son. And yeah, we had a good little dialogue. That was the most recent show that I dropped. And, you know, that's that, man. It's a Talking Chip podcast, man. I'm always looking for interesting people to chop it up with. So I'll probably get you on there at one point. You too, brother.
Yeah, I'm working on it, man. But, you know, this schedule has been crazy and everything. You know what I mean? I appreciate everybody on here. Listen, you know, always, you know, being the Powerhouse Squad members, you know, we're family. You know, we always want to tell everybody, you know, we're family, man. We look out for each other. We got to take care of each other. We know you need something. We know we can call each other up and say, hey, Brother Alpha, man, can you help a brother out? What's up? I'm like, yeah, you know, you got me. There ain't no thing. Ain't no thing but a powerhouse thing. So, you know, trading. So, Brother Kofi, man, what's going on with you, man? Listen, I know you're handing them quotes up. I've seen the news channel. I've seen what's been going on in Washington, man. So where else is going on with you, man? What's going on? What's going on? Are you in Georgia? Are you still down south? Or are you back up? Where you at, brother?
I mean, we all over the place at all times, man. You know, with even the stuff you're talking about in the news, that wasn't even in D.C. That was in Baltimore, I believe. But, just if you're interested in doing anything with us besides what we already do on NSF Radio, you know, Kofi Speaks is on every morning, Wednesday at 11 o'clock a.m. You know, we also have the Kofi of 40 podcast for you. That's KOFIOFORI. And that's on, that's actually one during the week. And then we have one on Saturdays early in the morning, but we do it live for you. But that's a little different, kind of flow to it. But if you'd like to join us there, you can find it on Spotify, Podbean, and Google Play. I believe we got it set up on iTunes finally. Also too, just put hashtag find Kofi, FINDKOFI. If you're looking for us on Facebook, Twitter, Hilanus, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, even Google or whatever, if you just Google it, hashtag find Kofi, and we're also, you'll find us. We're also live every day at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern, and we have good conversation. We have classes that we do. We actually have upcoming classes for people, so we have French that's being taught to children, also French that's being taught to adults, and we have, and that's for free. We have, for minimal donations that actually work towards making sure that we get you your degree or college credits, we have classes coming up on Natural Medicine 1, Hebrew characters, Black history, and cryptocurrency. We are helping people with different things right now. We even have a couple books out, 21 Days of Motivation and Yahweh and I, 366 Day Devotional. They just came out last week, and we started sending out the orders on this Monday. So things are great. Also, too, if you're trying to get in contact with us, you know, about anything, including the stuff we're going to do on Clubhouse and some other things later on, just hit us up. But we're always trying to do, change lives one mind at a time by being a voice to the voiceless and speaking the unspoken. We talk about being in the land of the shadow band because it is difficult to find us because a lot of platforms don't like what we speak on, but we're literally helping people for the better. We're doing food networking now. And like Brother Alfred is talking about the coat drive, we're going to have another one this Saturday in the D.C. area, and we're going to have some people help out. We're even looking at possibly doing some partnership with NS Fatherhood and NSF Radio and other places to be able not only get the word out but do coat drives in different places. We've even had major companies, which I'm not allowed to talk about yet because we don't know for sure if we're going to work with them or not, but some pretty major companies that when we say their name, you would know, oh, yeah, this is not a small time thing. So to see us go from giving out 200-300 coats the first time in November to now be in a position where we're already doing stuff all over the place, getting ready to have other companies shipping stuff to places for us so we can just simply show up and give out what they're shipping. You know, Yah's good. He's blessing us. And if you want to be a part of what we're doing or even just want to invite us to help you maybe even start up your own thing or you want to be a mayor of what we're doing, it's not about, you know, getting credit for ourselves. It's about making sure that the community, the diaspora, is taken care of, and that's the main goal, is to make sure that, once again, we change lives, but we change by the mindset. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, get in contact with us. You can get in contact with us here, I guess, right through kofispeaks@nsfradio.org, or you can even contact us. We have a number that you can text. If you call it, it's fine. but you know, it might go through a whole bunch of different channels before we finally get to it. So if you, the way we have the number set up, if you text it, it's best. You can text us at 202-599-7312. Again, that's 202-599-7312.
Also, don't forget, if you need to get in touch, but even say you don't have access, let's say you don't have access to it, you also can get in touch with Brother Kofi straight from NSF, the National NSF Co. All you got to do is dial 1-800-903-2096.
Oh, that's right. Thank
and
you.
I believe his extension is, I think it's 704. Or 701, I think so.
I had to double check it.
Yeah, but you can get hit straight through him, talk straight right to him. If you have interest in that, part of that or whatever. Also, you know, Kobe, I'm going to ask you, what's up with the book, brother? What's up with the book? I bet you everybody else in here don't know. Brother Kobe has written a book. I want to know what's going on with this book.
Well, we've written books before in the past, so this is nothing. This is not new territory for us, but this is these two books that are, well, there's, I'm not really hip when it comes to writing. I really don't like it, but it's something that I can do well to make sure that we get the point across. So I'm using whatever avenues we can to make sure that we grab the minds, especially of our young folks who are interested. And so when they ask questions and we see a lot of people want to talk about specific subject matter, we try to jump in on that. So there's a couple books that just came out that we redid, actually. One was 10 Days of Motivation originally. Now it's become 21 Days of Motivation. We're actually going to do a virtual conference with that one in March and April as well. And that has stuff in it as far as chapters like You Will Not Outwork Me, Vision, Purpose, and Value, What is Love, Interdependence instead of Dependence, Interpretation versus application, things like that, where we're just talking about things, because motivation, literally, it means the place that I've arrived at due to my motives. If you were actually we think motivation is somebody pumping you up, but really motivation is I've arrived in this place because of things that drive me. Are those things good for me? And now do I have habits to go along with it? So it was actually going to be 20 days of motivation. My mother-in-law actually suggested to me and said, well, son, you know, you probably should make it 21 days, because, you know, back in the day, they used to say 21 days made a habit before they made it 28. And I was like, sure enough, you're right. So we added an extra chapter. We just started sending it out. We had a devotional later on. We're going to have another one come out again that we've already previously written. This one we're just going to redistribute. It's called, Does It Really Matter That Jesus Was Black? And that's an interesting conversation within itself, because it talks about the changing of color, racism. It's not just only talking about religiosity. It's using things through history to show that we're not worried about salvation or something like that. Just because you're black, you're better. We're not saying that. What we're saying is the further back you go into history, the blacker we all get. So why don't we just go ahead and realize we're one? It's actually kind of a reverse to get us back to being one. And then later on, since people were happy about it, I don't know if I'm going to do it. It's a lot for 1 year, but we're going to try and add on another one. It's going to be called The Smoking Gun, in which we're just going to go back through history and talk about a lot of different things. We also got stuff like the Shadow Band Encyclopedia that we're working on eventually down the road, because that's us showing stuff that's been hidden in history. So writing is, like I said, it's something that we do, something we add on. We'll have more information on the website, kofi-40.com. We're actually kind of doing an overhaul on it right now to make sure people know what's coming up, the calendars for everything, classes, all that good stuff. But even some NSF radio stuff, we'll try to make sure we promote on there to make sure people who are connected here will be connected there. But, I will be honest with you. I'm excited at what's happening and excited that people are doing this, because it helps us do things around the world and speed up the process and speed up what we have a destined goal, not only in vision, but in time to be able to reach certain landmarks. But, it's great on that end, but I will be honest. I don't mind discussing the books as much, but I really am not the greatest. I really do not enjoy the process of writing, but I've learned that as many ways as we can to get the information out to our people and help them to be better, we try to do so. So, Days of Motivation, that's kind of the main one that we like. That one's really dealing with some of the stuff we talked about as far as relationships and stuff as well, too. And even, I'll leave it at this. And there, one of my favorite definitions that I've ever received on love is that love is an action so powerful that it brings about description, and it's also a description so powerful that it brings about manifestation. Things like that are in there. So, you know, that hopefully those are things that will bless people.
All right, right. All right. Just want to let you all know the National Saving Fatherhood is an organization that helps fathers and families fight the so-called systemic problems in our communities, whether it's the rate of divorce or child support payments. We do help everybody. We want to let you know that we are here for you, the community. I don't care what state you're in, where are we at. We have caseworkers working around the clock, working to help you out. So contact us, 1-800-903-2096, extension 1. All right? If you are a father and you're having that emotional breakdown and you just can't handle the stress of the relationship or the marriage or you feel like you're about to do something really, really not smart or uneducated or basically wrong, just very, very wrong is the simple language, okay? Call us. Press that extension 0. You will get a live help fatherhood hotline operator that will help you, walk you through the things so you can get yourself back on track emotionally so you do not end up in more hot water where you are going through, okay? So please give us a call today. All right. My name is Brother Alfred. This is MR. This has been the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio. So get ready. We are out of here.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse is in the field.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Goofy Afore.
Video. I am Hills Goofy Footy.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Let's start the show. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house.